Recorder is on.
Chicken out on me. Okay, we would say the pledge, but we don't have a flag.
Okay.
So we'll move on. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Is 5:36. Let's start with roll call. Nick, you want to start?
Here.
Commissioner Bohm?
Here.
Commissioner Hill?
Here.
Commissioner Cox?
Here.
Commissioner D?
Here.
I'm here. Sandra's here. Commissioner Earp?
Here.
Mark Pasico?
Here.
Lisa?
Present.
Okay.
Oh, just be different.
And Commissioner Smith said that he'd be late.
Okay.
Text.
Is anybody absent?
Commissioner Figueroa?
Yes.
Whom I do not know.
Boy.
Correct. He is appointed by the third ward council member.
Okay.
He has he did talk to me recently at a council meeting and says that he usually has a work conflict, so he has apologized for not making many meetings.
Is he wanting Councilman Valdivia to replace him, or are we going to just keep going?
He didn't indicate so. I was going to talk to the council member just to make him aware of it.
Okay.
And then it would be up to Councilmember Valdivia to decide what he wanted to do.
And has Councilman Johnson decided on replacement, or he's probably not going to because of elections and just going to hold out?
That would be my assumption.
That would be your assumption?
Mine too, but I have not talked to Councilmember Johnson.
Okay. We're going to do public comments for anything not on the agenda. We don't have public here, but you guys can also speak. Nobody?
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry, but what just comments that we have about in general?
Yeah, but you'll have your announcements and is like two down from here.
Okay.
If you have an announcement.
I just want to
public comments. You have a public comment?
Well, it's rumored now that the old Pacific Electric generating building is going to be torn down. Metrolink, all the palm trees that signified the Redlands Loop that were in all the postcards, they have been cut down. And it just seems like to me that
who cut them down?
They need, sandbag did. And I think what they need to do is maybe consult with other people regarding this type of stuff, that those if those trees could be moved. I know in Redlands, all the big tall royal palms, that they moved those. But these here were significant factor in the photographs and stuff, and it monumented where the Redlands Loop started.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like that there should be some avenue that we can have a meeting to say what else can be done, you know. And
how can we get in that loop?
I just don't see, you know. I see a lot of bulldozing going on with them.
Yeah.
The old Blue Seal Laundry, the oldest, most significant building, was torn down, and then I'm wondering why they didn't tear the other one down, leave that, and go on the other side. But there needs to be some type of dialogue, I think, that goes with when these places start doing this.
And where's that, the PE barn?
Yeah, the PE barn's on G and Rialto Avenue. That's okay. The Pacific Electric. That was their generating station.
Okay.
Now, this is just rumored.
Yeah, they have not come in, although Sandbag. We have a complicated relationship with them. Let's start there. And they, the project's got a long history. I don't know all of the history. I'm sure a lot of you guys have a better, men and women have a better feel for the history of it than I do. But they do tend to operate on their own schedule and do things their own unique way. And we've had multiple problems just with construction of the transit center. With Sandbag and Omnitrans.
Does anybody know any of the board members?
We open up for Sandbag board meeting, and I've I know James Ramos a little bit. I know Ed Padgett, who's the mayor of Needles, the mayor of Colton. We've all had been associated with railroad at one time, so we've got some dialogue.
Is there a way that we could just ask how we could have a voice on Sandbag? Because we have some concerns.
Well,
I mean, would that be a way to approach that, first
we,
off?
I think it would. We had a big ally there, Mitch Alderman.
Uh-huh.
And Mitch is no longer with Sandbag, with about blew us away. He was a visionary on what bringing 3751 into town, having the display of the railroad cars, having the model railroad group, and bringing more people into the city.
Mm-hmm.
Last weekend, we had 105 people, again, for our 5 hours. But they come, I'm sorry, if I'm not...
No, you're fine, you're fine.
But we're bringing people from out of the area into the city,
right,
which exposes them to maybe some potential
right
things going on here. Mitch left, they had a temporary person come in, and now there's a full-time person. His name is Justin. One of our members had some conversations with him. He seemed pretty positive about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just talked to Bill Manis, and I think what we're going to do is let him get acclimated to that job for a couple of weeks. and then go talk to him about some of these issues that are facing the depot.
Is Pat Morris not on there anymore?
Who?
Is Pat Morris not on there?
No. But the city owns 51%, and Jim Morris also said that they should be more involved in day-to-day decisions there. And I think these things, I feel good. Yesterday I didn't feel good. Today I feel good. So I think I keep a pulse on this, and I think that that's what we're going to do. And,
yeah, I think approaching a board member is at least what steps could we take?
I don't want to jump the gun.
I agree with that.
I want to talk to the people that are making the calls now,
mm-hmm,
and then you know if there's a negative reaction to them, then maybe
then we can do the next step. Yeah,
that's
I mean
that's what I do.
Yeah.
But I don't think at this point we want to get all official before we sort of, like, if you have some kind of relationship with them, you can.
Well,
you know,
maybe,
casually talk about, you know.
Maybe he knows. Maybe he doesn't think we're interested in it.
That's exactly right.
So
I don't want to get. I don't want to go in getting all hard ass on when we really didn't have to do that at all.
Right.
We could just, you know, yeah, ask.
Could have been a conversation.
Be careful about that.
Yes.
And we've
we'll quote you on that.
It's recorded.
Lisa's got it. Yeah. Lisa's got
that.
Note
down.
That was a hard ass committee.
Again, we had problems with one person there that came in and wanted to take out everything we put in the waiting room. Mm-hmm. And I had a good conversation with her, and she goes, "Well, you know what? That's okay." And I said, "Well, you know, if you ever need anything, let us know. If you need to open up," and they did call us. We opened up for a function, and now we're buddies.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I like to operate
yeah
on this stuff. You get, you know, any adversarial thing's no good.
Yeah, that's
and
exactly.
And so it's working out pretty good.
Yeah.
So I think it's time to let this gentleman settle in,
right,
and then say, hey, you know, maybe we can get involved in some
okay
of the decisions.
Yeah.
And the city has the horsepower.
Yeah, finding out who took Mitch's spot is important. I didn't realize that they'd replaced him.
They had a temporary in there,
right,
and now they have a
permanent. Right. Okay, good.
And, you know, like the palm tree thing, they probably weren't even thinking about it, but if it had been pointed out to them, hey, this is a historic view from San Bernardino of this particular thing, they would have, it probably would have made all the difference in the world.
That's where
yeah, exactly.
But then, like, you know, they're gonna put some palm trees in front. Maybe
yeah
they, you know.
They just moved them.
New ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll certainly follow up on that.
Thank you, Commissioner Dahl, for making that contact.
Okay, on to agenda item 5. Let's review the meeting minutes. The only thing I saw, Lisa, is I'm here twice.
Yay! Wow.
It should have been Commissioner Smith.
How did you do that?
It wasn't easy.
I'm sorry.
Oh, but what a nice ring.
It's not as good as good and bad yet.
I thought I'd turn this off.
Comma after Truax and before Hill.
Is that first page or where is it?
Yeah, first page. Under roll call and introductions.
Oh, yeah, Truax, Hill.
Oh, comma, yeah.
Gosh, you're good.
You guys aren't together.
Would anybody like to make a motion to accept the minutes with changes?
Okay. I move to accept the minutes with changes.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Let's go to number six, announcements and reports by commissioners. Nick, you're first on the list.
Announcements. A couple of meetings back at our historical setting meeting, we had one of our members' name is Bob Crompton. He is involved with metal detecting groups called Riverside Treasure Hunters, and it's they go out there and look for metal stuff, but it's a very organized deal, and they have a unit called Historical Preservation Unit. They approach the Historical Society if there's something that we would like, if there's a project or if there's a building or site that we're concerned with, that they would go out in a very methodical process. They would go out with us or whatever. And the reason why I bring it up here is that, is this something that we can, you know, to be beneficial to the Historic Preservation Commission?
Yeah, the main thing that you forgot to mention is it's free.
That's free. Yeah, there's no cost.
That's a good question. Certainly, that's a great price.
So
it should be on our contact list.
Yeah. I mean, I've got old paperwork, a little fact sheet here. I can make copies of this. And about the services and benefits, and they're trained. They have a training. Bob is a trainer for this. I mean. And
would they, just for my own edification, would the commission then identify a site that you want them to go?
We could do it, yeah.
Walk off and just see what's underground. Is that would that be the purpose?
They, yeah, right. If there's something that we, as far as trying to decide if a potential site is worth saving, a building or whatever.
We should go do it with that PE building.
Yeah, they would go out. And also, whatever they find is for us. Whether it be the commission, historic, whoever they're doing it for, there's no cost. And we can go out with it. We can watch them. Whatever we want to do, but that's what they do. I mean, it's their hobby, but it's a very they have
professional.
Professional, yeah, they're right. Very professional. About it. Yeah. So this might be something that we look at. If you want to take a look at this?
I can. If you don't mind me having it, I can take
sure.
it and scan it and email it to everybody.
Sure, sure. And I've got a copy
of it. I'm trying to.
Yes, I
Chair Olivas, may I speak?
You're not used to that. You're the boss of the other meetings I'm at.
I think just for superficial purposes, it would be good, but I think for anything that's going to be that has to be legal, that's going to hold up, you'd probably have to get somebody like Statistical Research at Redlands or somebody like that that's a certified, registered, where they have archaeologists and a number of people that, these guys are basically finders.
Yeah.
And I would think.
But it's just another piece.
It would be
another piece. You're, yeah. I was saying, you're right, you want to get all the legal ramifications. Yeah.
They would be like an after effect.
Okay, so. So this is my question to you, Mark, is, okay, when they tore down the building next to Nina's, that property now is private property. So for them to go in behind, because the stuff underground is where you're looking, because they're actually going to come to my house and dig up where there were outhouses on my property. That's where they find a lot of things. So I don't. What I'm trying to understand is how would this work with us, number one, through the city?
Well, that's why I asked Commissioner Cataldo the question. I wasn't quite sure what their function or role or purpose would be. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a, yeah. That's a
so
very...
It's basically, the way it was explained to us at our meeting, whatever we want.
I mean, they would have to have permission.
Yeah.
But it is private property.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They'd have to seek permission to do that.
Right.
So in other words, so what you're asking is that maybe put this in our suitcase, in our war chest, and say, okay, maybe if there's a property bought that we, that the commission and then could send a letter to that property owner to see if they would allow us to bring them on board. But they carry their own insurance. See, they're, that's,
yeah, that's right.
They carry their own insurance. So the city wouldn't, the city wouldn't, I think that that is something that we need to all have copies of and probably receive and file. And then if we ever need to use it, then probably go to the city attorney's office. If we ever feel like we need that, need to use it.
It just seems like just a tool that we
Use. Tool, exactly.
Yeah, that's what it is. Is there something there?
I mean, they're not going to be able to tell us exactly what it is. All they're going to say is there's something significant under this building. Right. We don't know what it is.
Exactly.
But, I mean, most buildings have dirt floors, and then they can see another couple of feet. And then we can say, oh, there might be something significant here. Right. I mean, until it gets evacuated, we can't really do anything more than that.
Thanks, Nick. Yeah. Commissioner Bone. The 26th, do you have something going on at the depot?
Yeah, we have a, there's a Route 66 group that's coming through that that's supports some type of disease. Now, correct me if I, some type of disease, and they're doing this tour of Route 66. So we're hosting that group at the depot parking lot for, I think, 2 or 3 hours. On the 26th, they'll have a car show, set up some stuff, then they'll go to the McDonald's Museum.
Certainly, they don't support the disease. They support...
I mean,
this is how they're raising money.
Fundraising.
Yeah.
Fundraising. Thank you, Mark.
we all knew what he meant.
We're all for cancer.
Not disease reasons.
I've been on the freeway for 3 hours.
Sorry.
And we'll be having that there, and then... we've got some other things that are set up that are coming soon.
Okay. Commissioner Hill.
No comment.
No comment? Okay. Commissioner Cox.
No announcements.
Commissioner D.
I just wanted, I don't know if anybody's noticed or not, but the painting, the mural did go up on the Farmers Insurance building there at Waterman and 19th, and they did put the train on there. They didn't put it where you could read the number, but they did put the train on there.
So it's on the...
it's on the state... Farmers Insurance building on the side of the building that houses that business right there on 19th and Waterman.
Okay.
And then you're probably all aware of it, but I'll mention it in case you're not. I went to a meeting that Steinorth, Assemblyman Steinorth was having regarding the gas line coming down through Valencia and through the city of San Bernardino. Is that anything that's going to affect any of our what we do here, our historic properties or anything?
All of that work, I can answer
see
that.
The gas line coming through?
Well, all that work is in the public right of way.
Okay.
I've been in two meetings with a gas company. They have not even started the environmental review process.
Okay.
They're scheduled to go to the CPUC, the Public Utilities Commission, in the fourth quarter of this year to set the preliminary alignment.
Yeah.
Right now, all the discussions have been with the gas company and what they believe is the best alignment based upon their parameters. And what they've looked at is minimal disruption to traffic and minimal disruption to the neighborhood. One of the reasons that they picked Valencia, and I know it's there's been a lot of discussion in that neighborhood about why Valencia. They look at wide streets so that they can do most of their work without still having two-way traffic. So that's why Valencia was picked.
And
so
there was also some discussion about fault lines. They're trying not to cross.
Well, minimum number of fault lines. Of course, they're coming straight across the San Andreas and then straight across.
They have an existing one now that goes through the mountains and comes down through.
Right.
Yeah.
So they will have a hearing before the PUC sometime before the end of the year. That will kick off the formal EIR, EIS process, so the California Federal Environmental Review process. That process is going to take about 9 months, and it's the Public Utilities Commission that actually has the contract and manages the environmental review process. The city and any entities, affected parties, can then comment on the draft EIR, but I don't imagine the draft EIR to be out until next spring at the soonest. And then there'll be 60 days for public comment. And then it will go back to the Public Utilities Commission for a formal vote. So that vote probably isn't going to take place until late 16, maybe early 17.
I know this is very preliminary.
It is, but there's been a lot of discussion. But long story short, most of the work, well, all the work's in the public right away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where's the terminus for this?
It's a 65-mile line. It starts in Adelanto and ends in Moreno Valley. So it is being sold as a redundancy system to bolster and ensure reliability of their overall system for mm-hmm. Southern California. And they've got another line that's coming in from Blythe and running east.
After it goes to Valencia, what way is it going to head then south?
It comes through the pass, goes down Cajon Boulevard, comes across 40th, down Valencia, I'm trying to remember where it turns east. It ultimately winds up on Tippecanoe, and then down Waterman. It will run down Waterman under the freeway and then turns east down Redlands Boulevard and then down through Loma Linda.
So it's San Timoteo Canyon, Ritchie, one of those?
They said Ritchie Canyon.
Ritchie Canyon, yeah. So it is a very long-term project. They are just in the preliminary phases, but from my view of things, they've done a horrible job communicating with the public. They seem to have annoyed every single neighborhood group they've ever met with. Which is really surprising because they hired a outside PR firm that is supposed to be handling all of the public relations and all the community input, and they've just done a mashup of a job. So,
thank you, Mark.
And that's all I had to say.
I only have two things. The Farm Share Market's open every Thursday. This coming Thursday will be Food Truck Thursday, so there'll be food trucks there. So that means I have to get to work early. And then on the 27th, we're going to have a soft opening at the Colonies for a brand new farmer's market over up on Weir and Waterman up in the 3rd Ward. And then we'll have our grand opening on October 4th with all the, you know, all the handshakers. And
so it's going to be where now?
Colony Park. It's off of Weir and Waterman.
I'm trying to think where Weir is.
South of the 10.
Yeah.
Oh, is it near Hospitality Lane? No.
It's past Hospitality.
It's south.
Near the Rock Church.
Yep.
You know where the Rock Church is?
Oh.
There's a park
way
there.
Down there.
Yeah.
By Layman's.
Yeah. So that will
say layman's.
Oh, that's what it should be. Okay.
Yeah, if you look it up on Google Maps, it still comes up Colton, even though it's San Bernardino.
Now, one time you were talking about the northern part of San Bernardino.
That'll be in February. We'll be going to the north end of town, opening another one. That'll be in February.
Oh, so Reagan's two.
So we'll have three markets going at one time. Two different nonprofits.
Good, very good.
Three markets, two different nonprofits.
Yeah, good job.
And then Winter Wonderland's coming on December 5th.
That was a lot of fun last year.
Okay.
I don't have any big public announcements except that I was named the interim director of the WRI, which is why I've been so dang busy. Well, so sorry I haven't made it.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I don't know I already had a full plate, so.
Now it's even fuller.
Of the WRI?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't really have
congratulations, so Susie.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay, we're going to move on to old business. And before we move on to old business, I just want to say something. All these things under old business and new business, let's get them taken care of tonight. Let's not keep on dragging them on. Because it seems like we're just spinning our wheels. And I've heard that from several commissioners. So let's make some decisions here tonight and move forward. Okay? So let's go to our first item. Discussion of the partnership with the local schools. In the beginning, that was Nick was going to talk to Dr.
Marsden. I know.
Thank you.
Dr. Yeah, Marsden. Is this?
And then Susie and I talked about.
Yeah.
Okay. Two of us. And then, and we've been meeting. Well, that's about it. But we're after months, we forget about it.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is my question.
Okay.
Are we still interested in doing this, or is this something that we need to just take off the agenda and work on the other things that we really need to work on first? And getting, you know, because we do have bylaws, we have a resolution. Mm-hmm. This states what we're here for. Mm-hmm. And if we can't do the things that we are here for through our resolution, then we shouldn't be branching out. That's just a personal opinion. Now, if anybody else would like to say anything about it, that's fine.
I would prefer to bypass that.
Okay.
I think that's something that is important and we can do as a historical society.
Right.
But for the commission, I think that...
So would you like to make a motion to take it off the agenda?
Okay. I make a motion.
I'm sorry. What do we mean by the partnership with schools?
Yeah. So you want to have partnership. Basically, it was working with... I'm trying to think. There's a man named John Hinkleman I spoke to, and I think we had somebody else stop. I'm not sure how many people we talked to. I just talked to John Hinkleman a few days ago. He's a teacher at San Bernardino High School. And he mentioned that he initially came to one of our historical society different thing, meetings. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned about getting ideas and educating his students about the history of San Bernardino. They were going out and doing projects, I'm not sure all the detail, and you know, we thought that's a good idea, you know, because the whole idea about preserving, teaching about historical preservation or interest in history is education of the young people. That's the important thing. So we do want a partnership, but we're, you know, one of the items that we talked about here possibly is working on an ongoing project with the school district, doing in services and what have you. And it's good, but I think it may be taken away from.
So you think that the Historical Society is a better venue than for the preservation commission?
I think so. That's something that, you know, I do public speaking, you know, it goes with schools or what have you, and that's all part of it. But I think for here, because I know that we're already getting into the Mills Act, that's, I'm jumping the gun here. But we've let that go for about a year.
Yeah.
And we've kind of like branched out to, we've been fragmented, and there's so many things we want to get done, and some really important things, and then we wind up getting not much done.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
Do you have a second?
Yeah.
Give me a second.
Commissioner Cox?
I'd like to second.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Well,
Commissioner Earp, do you have anything to say?
I do have something to say.
Okay.
Perhaps Nick could keep in mind when you go back to the Historical Society and someone asks, especially from the school district, asks for a discussion for their classroom about historic preservation or historic buildings, that he remembers who sits on this commission. And if one of us need to be tapped to go give a presentation, we're available.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. It does spin us off in another direction that we don't have time to do.
Now, John Hinkleman, this gentleman, he's going to be our guest speaker at the Historical Society in December, because this is the 100th anniversary of San Bernardino High School at the present location. It was originally on 1891. It was on 8th and E Street. Then they moved to the present location in 1915. So he's going to be doing that. He's going to make some of the students that he go over too. So it's part of that partnership. There.
I think that venue is probably better for what they're trying to achieve than this is here.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah.
Because you've got photos, you've got things that can stimulate stuff, and you've got conversation and resources there that, that's what could probably be a better suggestion.
Okay, so any further discussion?
Well, I just wanted to tell Commissioner Hall why we got involved in this. And that is, we have a real sense of that the average citizen doesn't know about the history of San Bernardino. We thought, well, if we could start with the school kids and grow them up to believe that we have some amazing architecture and buildings and history in this town, that perhaps that would be a way to attack that situation. If you go over to Riverside, the average citizen knows a lot about their history. They have a sense of history. But the average citizen in San Bernardino does not have that sense of history. So that was our attempt to bring that level of understanding up, but we just don't have the wherewithal to do it at this point. There's a lot of other things that we need to do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really good thing to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to pass that piece up, but we are spinning our wheels.
And having the interest in history, we can still do it, but not as a agenda, as a project. You know, like I said, I've given presentations to different groups, and I did a thing for school teachers back in January, and they brought it to their classroom. In fact, John was in that tour, and I'll be doing that again. So, and we're all doing that. Anyway, the more we're involved with history, we spread.
Any further discussion? I have a second. So can we take a vote? Sure. All in favor of taking this off the agenda for no further discussion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. The next two I'd like to combine, the Certified Local Governments and the East Civitas grants. This was brought forth by Commissioner Malmuth. This is an opinion again. My opinion is we're not ready for this. This is 5-6 years out for us. Now, the research can be done if somebody wants to do the research on their own. That's fine. But I don't feel like this is something that we can handle at this point in time. Number one, it's not in our resolution. This is not what we're here for. Now, once we take care of the stuff in a resolution, then we can go even maybe go back to council and ask to change the resolution to put more teeth into our commission. But if we can't do what we're always supposed to be doing, then we don't have any. We're a silent voice here. So I'd like to take these two together if it's possible. So I would need a second on taking these two items together and having a discussion on that.
Oh, you're talking about the grant and also the certified?
Also the certified, to take these as one item instead of two.
I'll make the motion to combine the two.
Thank you. Can I have a second?
I second that.
Okay, Susie, thank you. Susie seconded it. Okay, let's open this up for discussion.
All I remember about the Certified Local Governments is it was just sounded really complex.
Yeah.
And all of us were going to have to be like, have degrees or I don't know, it just sounded like I wouldn't be one of the
commissioners.
People, you know, yeah. Because,
you don't qualify.
Have all those credentials and stuff. So that was, if that was the direction I'd be going and I was going to hold us back, in that kind of case, I'd be willing to step down if that's where you guys are going to go. It doesn't seem like we're, I don't want to hold the commission back with my lack of credentials, but it just seems like I think it's a good idea to, I don't know, what's the difference between tabling something and taking it off
tabling
the agenda?
Tabling means you leave it on the agenda and carry it forward. Yeah, taking it off the agenda for no further discussion is totally off the agenda.
It could be brought up later, but...
It can be asked to be put back on the agenda later, yes.
So if you table something indefinitely, it's still going to be on the agenda every...
Okay. Table.
Okay. Alan?
Well, the Certified Local Government it should be a spoke in the wheel of historic preservation. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to be referred to as a Historic Preservation Commission, that at one point that's going to have to be incorporated into what's going on, or else there's no sense in reviewing anything. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can look and see what other cities have done to adopt this and how they've incorporated in their program. And there's a couple other things, too, that we have to achieve that, that the council will have to approve. But it's something I think that eventually, from my perspective, is that we're going to have to do. So if somebody does start to tear something down that has some significance, that we have some type of leverage to deal with them on that, to you know, adaptive reuse or something like that. But right now we have no tools, and this is a tool. So I think like you, we, you know, maybe this is not the right time, but it's something we need to work on, to get a package together, and then decide what's going to happen, and then just hope that nothing's tore down in the meantime.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a question for staff. How many certified local governments are in this, are in California?
I don't know the exact number, but it's not a large number, because it is a, Commissioner Bones correct, it probably needs to be done at some point in the future, but there is a, there's a lot of work on staff's side. First of all, we don't have the in-house expertise. I'm not a historic preservation person. Lisa is not a historic preservation person.
I also believe there has to be somebody on staff.
That's what I'm saying. We,
and
don't,
we don't have,
those
positions
we don't,
available.
Right. We don't have the staff resources to become a certified local government. And then, as Commissioner Cox has pointed out, the composition of the commission would most likely change as well.
Sure.
Because there are specific individuals with skill sets that you need to have on the commission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think at some point down the road,
you're
we
saying
can
down the road, what are you saying? Five, 6 years?
I would
seven
say
years?
A minimum of 5 years.
Okay.
So tabling is.
Well, I think removing it
off, or
I would remove it from the agenda, because I think tabling it implies that it will come back
in a couple months,
a shorter period of time.
Okay. But I also agree with Commissioner Bone. It's something that we need to work on, and there's no reason we can't work on it.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, we don't have to discuss it every commission meeting, but there's some of us that could collect the documents that are needed.
So if something changes in the meantime,
exactly,
then we can maybe approach it sooner,
right,
than the 5 years down the road.
Okay, but Alan, this is where I'm headed kind of with this, is that we're going to be discussing later on subcommittees.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the perfect subcommittee for you to head up, the historical preservation ordinance, because that can be part of the project. To me, that's duplicating that. So you're going to be researching it, which you're going to be doing anyway if you take that position. And I just think that's where I'm with Susie. Yeah, it's something we need to know about. We need to understand it. We need to process it. And I just think that's doubling up with which you could put it under a historic preservation ordinance, a subcommittee.
Sure.
I think that's where that could go in there. And then you could research it.
And work on it, and then give reports on what's going on.
That makes
what
that makes the most sense.
Right.
Is it
right.
Is it right for our situation? Is it not right for our situation?
Mm-hmm.
And then go from there.
Exactly.
I like that idea too. Yeah, just have that as a subcommittee. We don't have to bring it up every
mm-mm.
month, but right now we can. Like you said, we don't have the expertise. We need
mm-hmm.
people on the commission who have the expertise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the brain power. I don't have, you know, I don't know how to do it. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, the thought of getting rid of it for good, even though the bylaws say this and say this, as a commission, you know, the frustrating thing has been for me, and I think for a lot of people, is that we haven't done what we were supposed to be doing.
Yes.
You know, for whatever reason, forever excuse,
mm-hmm.
legitimate or not, buildings have been torn down before they've gone to the commission. I mean, there's been reasons, and we've heard, you know, Henry Pena was here, we've heard all the reasons, but that shouldn't be, you know, we already belong to a historical society.
Mm-hmm.
If this is another historical society, then, you know, why be? I mean, what's the whole purpose? We're chair, commission, all that, it doesn't make sense. So we need to have,
And I think too, if we can be prepared in case something happens.
Sure.
If something major comes up and the council says, hey, we want to do this, then we can
get our act together quickly.
Present that what we have accumulated and say, this is the direction you want to go.
Okay.
Yeah. And in a 2-1 meeting, if we want to, I can have Don Grenda, who's the president of Statistical Research, come in and explain it in a little more detail.
Mm-hmm.
On what he
that could be a workshop.
He's on the Redlands Historical Commission and the Conservancy, and there's interaction there too that he even suggested one time that to make a Valley Conservancy, mm-hmm. which include Colton, Rialto, and some places mm-hmm. like that. But there's a lot of things to do. But I think we should be prepared.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of the certified local government. After I read the 35-page document and studied it. It would be part of an ordinance, and that's why I'm saying, let's take these two things off of the agenda, and then let's move them down, put the certified local government research, since you're already starting it, and we can move that down into historical preservation ordinance, and you can, because what I'd really like to do, even though I'm not following the agenda here, is put you as the lead on that. So anyway, so let's go back and we need to take, is all the discussion on these two items up?
Possibly we could put like, this, let's bring back in January.
You so, want to bring, okay.
So maybe have,
just to have,
probably, do you want
more sir, information?
Well, what we can do is bring the historical preservation ordinance back in January for a report.
Yeah.
And you can make that part of your report.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because so, you don't want a report.
Okay, right, so
why
let's.
Why don't we make it like a quarterly or a
yeah.
quarterly report?
That sounds good. And the Don Grenda thing, we could do a workshop.
Yeah.
And the Brown Act does not apply to workshops.
Okay. So what's our motion?
Our motion is to take the certified local government and e-Civitas grants off the agenda, correct?
And mm-hmm. Commission Chair, are you making this motion?
No.
Okay.
Who made the motion?
Nobody.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
And you second it.
Yes.
Right. So now we need to take a vote on it. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you missed my favorite part. So moved.
So moved. So moved.
My favorite.
I know. Johnny's so good at that. So moved. Alrighty. Now we can go to the potential formation of subcommittees. The Mills Act Subcommittee and the Historical Preservation Ordinance Subcommittee. And Alan, I would love for you to hold to do the Historical Preservation Ordinance, be the lead on that, because you've done a lot of work on it already. I know.
I would like to join you on that.
Because Susie's got a lot of stuff on that.
Yeah, I do have a lot of stuff.
Okay, so we can only have two per. Is it two? No, three, right?
Two, three.
Three. Three per.
As long as you don't have a quorum.
Right, so that's three.
It's five is a quorum.
And Commissioner Bone is a non-voting member, so he actually doesn't count towards one of your commissioners.
Yeah, that's right. You can't vote.
Sorry to single you count. Out, but so, what I'm saying is that means yeah. you could have more people on that
so
if that was
said.
The
right.
Desire.
So you can have five.
As long as one of those five is Commissioner Bone.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, so I know we're going kind of, because I want it, since we're still fresh with the certified local government and Alan's really concerned about that. That's why I went ahead and skipped a historical preservation ordinance. Alan, would you like to head that up?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay, so who would like to join him? Susie?
Yes. I've been wanting to move that forever and ever.
I know you have.
I can
okay,
do that too.
Three. Okay.
Awesome.
So the subcommittee for historical preservation ordinance will be Commissioner Bone, Commissioner Cataldo, and Commissioner Earp.
Okay.
Ma'am. You look okay. You're looking like okay. Now we have the Mills Act subcommittee. Did anybody reply to your email that they want to be on it?
My reply was, I was going to wait until I find out how many and what subcommittees
are.
Are we have five,
yes.
we have two, three. You know, what are our subcommittees going to be?
I think we're going to start with two, because
that
gets us started.
Okay.
You know, and then we can move. The faster these subcommittees move, the more that we can go on to something different. Now, this, the ordinance one is going to be around for a long time, so, and will the Mills Act, will be around for forever too. Would anybody like to head up the Mills Act subcommittee? Okay, I'll do it.
Oh, thank goodness. You're good at it.
Thanks. I'll head it up.
Well, I'll be involved with the Mills Act.
Oh, you'll be involved with it? Okay.
Jim Smith might be interested.
I doubt it. So.
I would try.
Dee, you could like do all the research. If anything, do the research because I know you're limited on time.
And as far as I'm concerned, I am more than willing to do things like do survey, window surveys, and all that kind of stuff.
I know, it's one of these right here. I was interested in that.
Well, we have to do the window survey if you're a commissioner.
Yeah. Whatever I can do to help you guys, yeah. I don't want to be on the subcommittee, but I'd be very supportive.
And then we could have a workshop again. Summer, we didn't do it last year.
Right, we need to do it with the gentleman that Commissioner Bone talked about.
Yeah, sure.
We need to do it with the Mills Act again to get the rest of the commissioners,
I think those new commissioners,
up to speed on what it does, what it is, what it isn't. I mean, let's face it, when the controller came and talked to us, we were like, really? You can rent the house out? You can still be under the Mills Act? What? Really?
Yeah.
It can be business? Oh, yeah. See, there's a lot of things we didn't know. Some houses are good, depending on when they bought it. They already got really low tax rates anyway. And another thing is to even to ask them, well, if you go under the Mills Act, you got almost half your taxes. Then can you go under the HERO program and get things done to it, too? That increases your taxes as well. So the subcommittee, I'll head up the subcommittee for the Mills Act. Dee, you'll help me? Nick?
I don't mind helping.
You want to help?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Commissioner Cox? Can I email you and just kind of keep you up to speed on what's going on? Okay, so we'll put you on the committee too. Okay, so it'll be.
But that then becomes a quorum, so you can't do that.
That's four, right? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, you now have a lead. Yeah, if you add Commissioner Cox, that's 5, and that would violate the Brown Act.
Oh, Nick.
Because you're all voting. Thank you.
Well, I'll get off.
Yeah, get off and help him, okay?
They don't want you, Nick.
Remove Cataldo and put on Cox.
Yeah, Cox, Hill, D, and me.
She got the whole thing.
Godinez and Elitis.
Yes.
Yep.
I think part of what I should be responsible for is getting with you and making sure all of our paperwork's up to date and I can update the paperwork and that we don't have to worry about it. You'll have it all up to date. Okay? So we're good?
Can I get a motion and a second, please?
Can I get a motion and a second on the committees, please?
I'll move.
Okay, she'll move it.
I'll second it.
She'll second it. All in favor?
You can't vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Oh, Mr. Beard used to feel the same way.
Oh, yeah, Don, to me, that is so hard for one net. I got all of his stuff. That's why I got to get that stuff out.
Next time, if I can't make it, I'll just bring a mannequin in.
But see, you're at our advisor, so that's a good thing. Okay, so we're done with the old business. We're moving right along here.
So we've decided 2 subcommittees is good. Everybody
right.
Yeah.
In sync in that.
Yeah.
And so it's up to the chairs, which would be Alan is the chair and I'm the chair. When we want to meet, if we want to do everything by email. See, email works great. I set up a Facebook group just for us, you know.
And you need to let me know if you want your item on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So that Sandy, through Chair Olivas, let me know if you want your item on the agenda so I can place it on the agenda for discussion.
It'll probably be the first of the year.
Yeah.
Got the holidays coming up.
Okay. Let's move on to new business. I'm going to move the bottom one up to the top. I'm sorry, you guys. The plaque. I am okay. That's why I put it on here because we're gonna get this sucker solved tonight. We've been talking about the plaques as long as I've been on this commission.
Yeah, and before that.
And even before that.
You might want to bring up to date.
The plaques are for the houses that are under the Mills Act. There's a plaque that they can purchase themselves and put on to their homes to signify it, the year it was built, and then it's a Mills Act house. This plaque is purchased by them. It's what, $300? $300. We don't purchase it, they purchase it. But before we can let people buy them, we have to get it through council. The council has to agree that that is okay, the design and blah, blah, blah is okay. So that's why that's on here, because I want this to go to council.
Why has it been on so long?
I don't know. Spinning our wheels.
You know, we got involved with so many different ideas that certain things got pushed aside, and that's what happened.
And so my thoughts are, we need to clean it up, get rid of the stuff that we need to get done, get it voted on, get it to council, let's move forward so that we can work on all this new stuff that keeps on coming forward.
I'm not sure what the stuff
and not keep on spinning our wheels and something gets forgotten about. Yes, Mr. Brown?
Is there a way that a plaque could be developed that would be less expensive than the $300?
They worked on that, and they worked on that, and they worked on that. And the cheapest they came up was $300.
So if I may, Chair, and I'll take some blame as to why this has taken so long, that staff's turned over three times since this. Lisa did a little bit of research in preparation for this item. The commission voted in June of 2012 to forward this item to the council. I'm the third director since that period, since that vote was taken. So my understanding was this was going to be a requirement that anybody got their property was accepted to the Mills Act program would have to buy this and install it?
No, I think it was an option.
Okay, well, that was my question.
If I may, it was an option for those that were already in the Mills Act, and it was a requirement for those moving forward.
Oh, God.
So that's what I want to clarify, because I don't know if the commissioners would still want to mandate that.
I think it should be an option.
So when you say, it says $300?
It's $249.
And the big problem with people entering the Mills Act is they don't pay anything at all.
Huh?
Remember that year that we had 9 entries, we waived a $200 mm-hmm. fee. So it didn't cost anything. And so now if we they have to pay, even if they get it for, well, if they have to pay $200 to get in, or if they get it for free, they still have to pay $300 for a plaque. And that might
that
be.
That they may or may not want on their house. Because it does target your house.
For me, I wouldn't want that.
Would you want one on your house?
The problem I see is we have a problem with plaques in San Bernardino right now.
I know.
Anything that's bronze or brass
gets stolen.
Is taken. But there might be another option that could be smaller, I think, and then still signify it. I mean, you could read it when you may not read it when you drive by, but if you go up to the front door, you know, something like this.
We argued about that for at least a year. And we had a commissioner that was adamant that it had to be this brass thing because this was the only classy design that she would approve of. And
this is actually zinc.
Yes, this is zinc. This is zinc.
Yeah.
This is not brass, but it looks brass.
Yeah,
and my
they
problem
don't even know the
with
difference.
It,
they're just gonna take it off and then they'll.
My problem with it is if it's on my house, somebody's gonna come try to steal it.
Yeah.
Right. And I would rather have a simple wooden arrowhead with the date of the when my house was built. It says the Mills Act. Nobody's gonna steal a wooden arrowhead on my house.
And I like the metal signs.
They can do inserts with plastic too. That's routed. And they're a durable plastic, or even aluminum at one point, you know, but they see this.
This is a target to me.
It is.
It won't last long.
But on the other hand,
it's gorgeous.
We went around and around and around about this, and I know this particular commissioner was so adamant that it had to be classy. Why were we doing something that was going to be tacky?
I think
another
wood,
tacky thing.
I think wood came up, didn't it?
Wood came up, but they didn't think it would last. But
last.
Oh my gosh, I've seen houses with wooden arrowheads on them, and they last.
Those wooden houses are
for decades and decades.
And they do that laser etching in them too.
I mean, granted, would be too
and
much.
And I mean, we don't want to do something tacky, but there's some tasteful things you can do. I think it's.
Or maybe we don't want to do this.
And maybe we don't want to do this.
At this point, it's been.
This is ridiculous.
Set of commissioners.
Yeah, we
maybe we just need to drop this and forget about
it's
it.
It's a nice, great idea, but it's.
I don't think we should drop it if we're going to do maybe go back and do some research.
We don't want to keep reinventing this wheel.
Okay, so do we want to just. We don't want it to go to council then? Is that what you're kind of. That's kind of consensus I'm getting.
Well, could I. What would happen if you were going to shell out the $300 to get the plaque like that and have it placed on your property and then have it stolen, then where does that leave you? Mm-hmm. You're out a plaque and you're out $300.
Yes, I would agree.
Are you
going
to want to replace it with another plaque?
What,
you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think this is going to be a target. Personally, uh-huh. On my block, it's going to be a target. But. This
you live
what,
on the wrong side of San Bernardino.
You live on a good block.
I still know there's a lot of recyclers.
Right.
Maybe bring in some other options.
Ecology oriented.
That are a little less expensive.
Well, okay, here's another part of the problem. You know, Jim Smith is a big plaque guy. This is a Jim Smith problem. So if Jim is involved and he is on this commission, he really wants his plaque person to make these.
Well, that's
this is part of the problem.
That's beside the point.
That's beside the point.
Well, I would love to be able to say that's true, but it's not beside the point. He's going to come in and blow it up.
Why couldn't you do like those crystal, you know, like in the trophy stores, they have the crystal with the writing in it and display it in a window?
Has there been any way of exploring how it's mounted?
Oh, we talked about that, yes. Whether the city would come out and mount it or
no.
The homeowner would mount it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, we did talk about all those options.
How about
too.
A metal sign?
But Jim,
like we have
Jim
over
Smith
here.
Is pretty adamant about this.
Well,
he wants that.
Well, okay.
He does, because this is his
well,
monument.
I mean, it looks nice, but.
Okay. So we're kind of thinking this is not the way to go. The other thing that I've seen that I thought more practical and less expensive, was you know how all over town you see the signs with the little arrowhead?
Yeah, that's what those
metal
signs.
That used to be here.
Or the historic 25th
Street.
That's going
to be really expensive to put those up.
They're more
More than this?
Oh,
a metal
yeah.
sign?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, way more.
Those signs with the reflective coating are very expensive, and then to have them installed on the sidewalk.
Yeah,
those,
the city's not going to have money to do that.
Why would they be on the sidewalk? Why couldn't they be on the front of your house?
Ooh,
well, that's a traffic-looking sign. I'm not sure that's
well, I mean,
appropriate
we'll
for a...
But what I was saying is redesign it, though.
I think
okay.
get some examples.
Well, we have...
We have to do it.
No,
you
weren't
we've
here.
So many examples, it's been up to...
Okay, so what's this commission's pleasure? Do we want to drop this for...
I would hate to see it be dropped.
You would hate to see it be dropped?
I think there should be some recognition given some kind of way to what has been preserved.
I mean, that's the reason I... That's the reason I want it on my house. I am proud of the fact that my house is an older house that's being taken care of. I'm really proud of that. And I want the neighbors to see it too, that they could join in on such a thing.
So perhaps we can make this, instead of having mandatory, have it optional.
Well, it's always been
optional.
It's always been optional.
Oh, is it?
Oh,
but
yeah.
I thought we were talking about having it mandatory. If anybody wants to join in on the Mills Act, they have to, I thought Lisa, you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the motion needs to be brought up that number one, that it would be not mandatory, but optional.
I like that too. I mean, I think they're a beautiful plaque. If I had an old house, I'd want that too. But if some people don't, so.
Well, I hate to bring it up, but Redlands has something like that too. But they're a little bit smaller, and I think it's a wood base with a brass plaque on it. You know, like a trophy plaque that they inscribe on it. I mean, mm-hmm. So it's, you know what I mean, the thin little plates.
Yeah.
That might be a more viable option, and, you know, cost-wise, geez, you know.
Well, we went to Precious Time. We had so many things in here, you wouldn't have believed it. We have gone over that a zillion times. And, I mean, basically, it got dropped because of this very thing. So every time the commission changes, all the ideas about that plaque change. And I don't know what to tell you.
Sandra. It's an ongoing
problem. Well, about the one at Redlands, though. I don't know. We look at so many options, but I'm not sure if we looked at what they did in Redlands. What, you know, you said it's wooden and the...
It's like a wooden base, and then there's a brass plaque, a black brass plate.
Brass.
A brass plate, but it's not. It's so thin and stuff. Yeah. There's, and then it says the date of the house and stuff. And
it's just like a regular trophy plaque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. That's what it's like.
I'm not sure,
okay.
I'm not sure if we looked into that.
$20 to $50 or something like yeah. that.
Okay, but that's going to require another subcommittee to go ahead and find.
No, we're just going to leave it on Alan. You know, we really need to get this solved. This has been here forever and even longer.
Sure.
So, Alan, can you get us a, can you get us some, a picture of that?
Yeah, I can get some examples.
Okay. So that we can bring it to the next meeting, say this is what we want and take a vote on this and get it done and over with. Can we, do you think we can do this?
I do, but.
That's a plan then. Can I get a motion?
I'll make a motion that Alan, who we can't see.
Well, you just continue the item to October 12th.
Oh, okay. Let's continue it. Thank you.
I think we have a new, does that give you enough time, Alan?
October.
Oh, October.
October 12th?
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, you would
just continue the discussion to October 12th.
Okay.
And if Alan can find out how much, you know, basically the Historic Preservation Commission would put them up. Alan, is it?
No, we don't pay for
no.
anything.
No, there wasn't a red list.
I think you just say you go to ABC Trophy Company and you
exactly.
purchase
yeah.
this
yeah.
for
and
$72.77.
It should be within
yeah.
a 1 foot
yeah.
perimeter of
yeah.
the front
if,
door.
If it's something like
right.
$50.
Okay, so we'll figure all that out at the next meeting. You bring us the samples. We'll decide which one we want. We are going to vote on it, that it's what our conditions are to have it, where to go to get it. Let's get this taken care of and
yeah.
done and out the door so that we can get it to council.
Perhaps Jim Smith will be on a cruise.
Well, you know, it's one.
I'm going to Smith. It's one vote. Yeah.
All righty, on to the next item. Okay, let's go to the Mills Act. Lisa.
Thank you. I handed out to each one of you a your windshield survey form. We had one applicant this year. So if what has historically taken place is you guys are given your application. It has all of your information in it.
I know the way.
Thanks.
Okay.
I know the
and
house.
Then you fill out the application. I'm going to need this back in October.
Okay.
At your next meeting.
Okay.
So that I can,
okay.
upon your approval, place it on the agenda for council, get it approved, and get it recorded.
So just an outside...
An outside
yeah.
survey. Yes, our building inspectors
I,
will take care of the inside pictures.
I can give you the name of the person who built the house.
That's no. All we need is the front page filled out.
Okay, gotcha.
Now, what was the homeowner contacted? Yes, no. I
no.
thought that was no. It should be no, right? Like we're not
you
contacting.
No, you don't.
We're contact. Not contacting the homeowner. We're just driving by, right?
Correct. Windshield survey.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so
it's a drive-by.
She won't know that. She doesn't know that.
Correct.
We're not walking around the property.
No.
Okay, right.
Okay. For clarification,
yes,
for my
yes.
What exactly is windshield survey?
A survey taken from the inside of your car through the windshield.
Okay.
And
we're looking for.
Do you think that this property is something that you deem historic and would like to see as a participant in the Mills Act?
We call it a drive-by.
So she's an advocate, so she knows.
Yeah, correct. She knows, she applied.
Yeah, I have one
Is
question.
Yes.
On it says year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Right.
Number one, it says power wash old paint on the entire house. Is there anything that you've got lead paint mitigation on any of these that, does that, do they, are they aware of that? Or?
We
don't talk about that?
That's going too deep, Alan.
Well, when we painted the historical side
right.
house, that's what brought the cost from $40,000 to
$75,000. Yeah, lead paint.
That's a homeowner's problem.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not unexpected, obviously, on a house of this structure. But yeah, we as a city, when we don't require permits for people
yeah,
repainting their houses, so.
The second year.
Like any homeowner that does any repair, they
yeah.
do it on their own.
That's their deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're in front of that house.
Oh,
is
there's
a,
Mr. Smith now.
In front of that house is an irrigation ditch that was.
I know, Norman Flume, right?
1855.
1855 was the irrigation ditch? That's interesting.
That picture.
House built 1892.
That picture that's on the top, there's a dog running along in it.
Yeah, the dog's in two pictures there.
Yeah, but the dog in the top one, he's running along in that ditch.
So Commissioner Smith, to bring you up to speed, we had one applicant apply for the Mills Act. This is their application. I need your windshield survey completed by our next meeting, October 12th. Thank you.
They didn't put the estimated costs in here, though, on their 10-year rehab program. They don't have to put the estimated cost anymore.
They do. You give me your feedback, and I can make that a part of the application that goes to council.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because it's actually on the page, though.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Now, is the commission still going to vote on this, or is this our vote, or what?
You'll bring back your surveys, and we'll vote at the October meeting.
Okay. It says here, was the homeowner contacted? How do you advise on that?
No.
No.
In the past, just a little bit of history, the reason we make these windshields, we had this commissioner that used to go in and make inspections, basically. That's really awkward. I mean, nobody wants that. So we just say now, just do a windshield survey. It's not...
Can you eliminate that?
It's not up to each...
Sure.
It's not up to each of us to make the decision. We do it as a group. So having one commissioner go in and stick their nose into everybody's business was really inappropriate.
Yeah. Maybe we should eliminate that just to prevent that from happening.
We will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the whole content.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so that's DBAC on October 12th.
Correct.
Good. Okay.
So just continue the item.
So just
Chair
continue
to
that
October
item.
12th.
Okay.
So you should probably motion.
Do we need a motion to continue?
Yes, ma'am.
Can we get a motion to continue this to October 12th?
Motion to continue.
And that would be for both the first and third item, both on plaques and Mills Act?
Yes.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Hill.
Got a vote.
Everybody, thanks. Can we get a vote?
Aye. You have to say all in favor.
All in favor. Motion carried.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna make her follow the rules.
Yeah. God, the BBC is easier. Let's go to monthly meetings. This has been hashed, rehashed, hashed again, talked, retalked, talked again. So it was several commissioners came to me and said that they would like to put back on the agenda to be discussed again, and for a vote to be taken on it again. To have monthly meetings. Our resolution states that we have meetings every other month.
Actually, it's every quarter.
Right. You don't have a resolution. You have bylaws, and then you have an ordinance.
Ordinance.
And your ordinance, the ordinance actually states every quarter.
Wow.
I would think that monthly meetings would cause some consequences for the staff that I am worried about.
In past discussions, that's what,
right.
That concerns me.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, and I understand that. But the problem is when we, like last month, we didn't have a quorum. Of course, we have a meeting this month. But if you miss one meeting, it's 4 months down the road. And that's why sometimes I have to remember, why do we talk about plaques? You know, how many years, you know, it's. And I know that, and I know you can't say tit for tat, this is what they do, this is what we do, but the other commissions, almost all of them meet every month. And
Commissioner Bone?
I think, too, if we did meet every month, it would shorten the meetings because there would be less on the agenda. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But here's my two cents. So we have subcommittees now. The subcommittees
that might
can
help
meet.
Out.
Yeah, and the subcommittees can meet, and then we can meet every other month to bring up the business.
So that could
board.
Be the. I think that's the reason why we talk about subcommittees, and that if
I don't, these guys, I mean, we've been through, I don't know how many directors now, I'm sorry.
That's okay, I don't take it personally.
We have been through a lot of directors, and you know, we're taxing them as, poor Lisa, how many meetings you get to go to?
I guess what I don't.
Yeah, Lisa survives the directors, so I always go to Lisa and say, okay, Lisa, tell me what happened.
I understand all the, you know, the pressure you guys have. But my question is, with other commissions, so I meet with the Fifth Ward Commission, why don't they have that problem? You know, who's, you know, do they, I think they all have a staff member there at all their meetings, right?
Can you answer that?
Why is it like the fine arts and planning commission? You know, I know they meet every month. I think there's just has to be somebody with the city that's there. I wonder.
Well, I mean, just being absolutely blunt, I think it's all about priorities. The city has a significant number of priorities, and this commission has a more limited scope.
So commission-wise, this were a low priority compared to other commissions.
I'm not saying that directly, but I think if you look at just the scope, the Planning Commission does have land use discretion on projects that they are reviewing.
And fine arts.
Also. So they are actually mandated under state law. Yeah. Not that they meet every month, but they're a state sanctioned. Group actually required under state law. So, you know, it just comes down to how many resources the city has and where those various resources get put. We don't have even a historic preservation expert on staff, going back to the item that we talked about with the local government commission, or certified local government. You know, we do the best we can. And I understand that there are other commissions that meet every month. The council meets twice a month. We don't have the capacity. I will be very blunt. We do not have the capacity.
Mark, you can do it at home.
I could.
You can get on a computer.
Yeah.
Well, I also think that if we want to have a higher profile, then we need to go before the council more often. They don't even know we exist. I mean, frankly, we can barely do what we're supposed to do.
So how do we do that then? How do we get, we have talked about that.
You know, actually that's one of the reasons, because everybody's talked to me so much about holding monthly meetings. We're gonna have a discussion about the plaques next month, we're gonna have this house that's gonna go, both those things are gonna have to go in front of the council.
The council, sure.
Okay, so we've made, boom. What else have we brought in front of them? Nothing. And forever. So
you can see why we're a low priority.
That's why we're a low priority.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand.
So
yeah.
Until we do some things that are a priority for the council and the city, then we're going to remain a low priority thing. And we've spun off in 1,000 different directions, and we need to focus and do what we need to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be my suggestion for this commission.
Okay. Any other comments? Alan?
The other thing too that we need to look at in the term is that we need to be at least the same level as the Planning Commission. And where, you know, if they just come on and say, you know, okay, you can tear it down, and we say no, then it needs to go to the council to have their, to make the decision. And I don't know if that's going to be part of the ordinance or what, but I think it's something to look at the future, that we need to get a little more fuel.
But yep. On the bylaws, I believe we're advisory.
Yeah.
We are advisory.
That is correct.
But I know that the concern is.
But we have to change that.
Get bypassed. Exactly.
We are getting bypassed because
yes.
We're.
Because
not,
the other commission, the other commission's answer to the council. We have to answer to the Planning Commission before we answer to the council. You know,
You are advisory to the council on some issues and not in others. So
so we are straight to the council?
In some issues, not in demolition. And, you know, we've had this discussion several times about the need for strengthening the historic preservation ordinance. And I know now that Alan's the chair and there's actually a subcommittee. I think that's a good thing. You guys know this better than I do. It starts with community support. You know, it's the community that needs to drive this issue in order to really make the council see it as an issue. And to do a historic preservation, in my opinion, to do a historic preservation ordinance properly, it's several hundred thousand dollars. Mm-hmm. Because you have to build community support because you're affecting people's property rights.
Sure. Yeah.
And while everybody in this room may think that preserving every building built in 1922 is important, and I picked that year because that's the year of my house, not everybody that lives in a 1922 house wants the city to tell them what they can and can't do with their property. So it's a long-term community building, community support building process that we absolutely do not have the expertise or the knowledge on staff to do. And if it's rushed to the council, I think that's the surest way to get the backlash in the council to say we're never doing historic preservation.
Right.
Because the last thing the council wants is five people or 55 people saying, what are you doing to my property values?
Mm-hmm. So, or another huge expense that they can't.
Right, that they can't afford. You know, they can't afford to paint their wood-sided house every 5 to 7 years like they should.
Right.
The last thing they have money to do is to, okay, I've saved enough money to do a window change out. Now you're going to tell me what windows I can use?
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, I think it's a great idea, but it has to be right for the community, and that means it's a long-term process, and hiring somebody who knows how to do community facilitation.
That's why we've got to get that foundation document, this historic preservation ordinance.
But in order for the ordinance to be put in place, you need to do the community work before you do the ordinance.
Agree.
Because it's the community that's going to say, oh, we think this is important and this isn't. Because what's important in Redlands is not important in San Bernardino.
Right. Or Pasadena.
Or Pasadena, yeah. I mean, I live in Pasadena. I would never do a Pasadena-style historic preservation ordinance. Never, ever. It's
well, there's apples and oranges competing here.
Right. It completely overreaches. I think it goes way too far. I live in a historic landmark district. We're actually on the Federal Register, and my neighbors complain to me every Saturday. A neighbor was complaining to me about it.
Well, even with the Mills Act.
So it's not as simple as just doing an ordinance. It's we have.
That's not simple.
but we've got to go to the community first, and the community needs to decide what's important.
I think that you know maybe if you go with the baby steps. My major concern is the downtown area. And you've got the Harris, you know, we've got a number of buildings we talked about before. And those.
The Harris and the Andreessen building will never be demolished.
Well, we've got Woolworth. We've got a number of.
The Woolworth building won't. I mean, there are those buildings, you're right. You and I have talked about this, Alan. There are those buildings. The Heritage building directly across the street won't be demolished.
And these are the nucleus that are going to cause this town to come back to life.
So I think if we're going to do this, we have to be thoughtful and we've got to get some community consensus on what's worth preserving before we can even begin to draft an ordinance.
Right.
And that's a
discussion that we can have at Historical Society at some point.
Right.
That's a long
really got to be about San Bernardino.
Yes.
It can't be a copycat of any other place.
People have to embrace that. They have to
embrace
And at least at the Historical Society, those people are at least marginally interested in history.
Right.
Well,
right.
You know, even with the Mills Act, once you go under the Mills Act, you cannot plant a tree in your yard that's going to distract from being able to view your house. So there's even restrictions there.
Sure, that's an ordinance.
Right. So I'm with you guys on this, but let's get back on topic about monthly meetings. Okay.
They can't help us.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if it's impossible, you know, the fact that we're having subcommittees, I do understand that's, you know, really a big reason, a major reason why we're having that. So that subcommittee to meet the off month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we can't say, well, you know, they do this, they do that. We are where we are.
Can we see if the subcommittees would work, and then we could, if it's we're continuing to fail, then we can readdress the monthly meeting thing.
Yeah.
And figure out what we can do from
there.
We
could do that. Right now, it looks like
motion?
We'll see how the subcommittees work.
Yeah, let's see. I think it's a good idea. That might solve the problem. It's basically subcommittees are pretty much meeting, just not in smaller groups.
Yeah. All right. Sure. I'll move that we not have monthly meetings, that we will continue with our bi-monthly meetings at this point and see how the subcommittee meetings go.
I second it.
Okay. Can we take a vote?
Is this discussion or?
Yeah.
You know, and I think what I've heard tonight is basically, again, what's happening in San Bernardino. We've gone through this route before. We've talked about having monthly meetings in the past, maybe not recently, but I can understand why we haven't done anything since 2008, because we've been in a big recession.
Yeah.
And since 2012, we've been in bankruptcy. Now, this November, we're going to have an election. So we could even have new people as city council persons that we need to base a selling job. You know, we got to sit down with them. We're appointed by council people. So it's our responsibility to go back to them and talk to them and sell historical preservation to them to raise their awareness level. So I agree with Susie. I think it's just a little premature. It's not a bad idea, but I would like to call for the question.
Thank you.
Okay.
We have a first. We have a second.
Yeah, third.
A vote. Can we please take a vote?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carried.
I apologize for being late. I was teaching tonight, but I did notice on the agenda, you may have already corrected that, but it's not a big thing. I mean, but in the roll call, I noticed that my name was not there, so I presume that's been...
Oh. It's been handled.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I put in a good word. I put in a good word for you.
Though. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, on to item number 8.
Oh, shoot, I'm just done.
No, you're not
I'm
done
ready
yet.
To go.
Discussion of future agenda items. Anybody want to have a discussion?
So I have continuation of the Mills Act and continuation of discussion on the plaques.
Okay.
Okay.
There we go.
Solved.
And the subcommittees are going to report back in January, correct?
If
that's is that what we had decided? Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. Mr. Prosecco, you are on. It's all yours.
Yes, I will make this brief. Code enforcement has been a discussion item, not so much with this commission, but just in general in the community. We do have funding for demolition of burned out structures. That has been a ongoing problem for the city. We have done 13 demolitions this year, which is far below where we would like to be this year, but we haven't done 13 demolitions collectively in the last 4 years, so it's better than we have been, but still far, far off from where we would like to be. So we do have one code officer who's dedicated to that, following that process through. And then also the International Property Maintenance Code, the City Council held the first public hearing last Tuesday night to adopt the International Property Maintenance Code, and that'll streamline the code enforcement process so that we can get better compliance from property owners that aren't maintaining their properties. So that item will go back on October 5th for a second hearing before the City Council, and then should go into effect by mid-November.
I have a question, Mark. On the demolitions funds, is there any way they can recuperate that through a some type of addition to property tax?
We do put a lien on the property, yes. Okay. So we do recover those funds.
And the international property, what's the international?
Well, the international is the codes. Some of you may be familiar with the Uniform Building Code. Mm-hmm. The Uniform Building Code actually disappeared about 12 years ago. There's now, there is a movement, the International Property Maintenance Codes, or international codes, so that contractors, these are big global engineering and construction firms, could do work anywhere in the world and there would be a standard construction method. So they're called the international codes. So
that replaced the building code?
That has replaced, right. So this may be getting way down into the weeds, but the international model codes, they're called, are adopted by the International Code Council. Then they're adopted by the California Building Commission. And then local jurisdictions have 6 months to adopt those codes. So the IPMC is just the model code. So actually, if you looked at the building code, it's now the International Building Code, which has been modified by California and then adopted by San Bernardino. So that's
A
very long answer to your question, but that's why it's there.
Okay, so how will this code affect us, the Preservation Commission?
It doesn't affect the Historic Preservation Commission directly, but I did want to make you aware of that because, again, code enforcement just has been a discussion item. Mm-hmm. By various people throughout the community.
When this code is passed, can we get a copy of this code?
It's
you can email it to
us.
But it's adopted by reference, so what the council adopts is actually a pretty small ordinance.
Okay.
But yes, the IPMC itself is about 120 pages.
Okay, I don't want that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Never mind. Yeah. I'm good.
In regards to the demolition,
yes.
How is that prioritized in regards to what's being done?
A lot of it is we work very closely with the police department, so it's based upon calls for service. So we first look at the calls for service and then the state of the structure to prioritize those buildings. We are also working closely with the city attorney's office on the receivership program. And the receivership program, a couple of cities have led the way on this. Both the City of Ontario and the City of Riverside have had a pretty active receivership program. What that does is, for those properties that where an owner, there's a long history of violations on the property, we can actually go to court and the court appoints a receiver, which basically says, you know, Ms. Sherrick, you're a derelict property owner. A court-appointed receiver will come in, they do the repairs and abate the nuisances, and then the property is put back on the market. The original owner, the proceeds are split between the original owner and then the receiver is actually paid for their time. So we are also working closely, those properties that may be either demolished. We have now two receivers that are under contract with the city attorney's office. They will look at the property and determine whether or not there's enough value in the property to go down the receivership route. And then we go to court. The court actually appoints a receiver again. So
it's a process.
It's a process where we essentially, the receiver is essentially taking the first position on title. So we supersede Wells Fargo or whoever's first position on title. We rehab the property, we then sell the property, and Wells Fargo, all the lien holders are paid whatever proceeds are left. But yes, it is a very, very lengthy process. I know that it's frustratingly slow for us. It's got to be frustratingly slow for the neighbors if there's a property that's been, you know, burned out for 4, 5, 6 years in your neighborhood, and it really does it destroys neighborhoods. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
It can't help but to lower the value.
And it does lower the value, yeah. When I say destroy, it does.
Yeah.
It does, and then people start disinvesting in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Why am I going to paint my house if there was a burned out property two doors down?
On that note, I would like to report that one of the buildings that was demolished is on North Sierra Way across from our church, and it's where we had our national night out. Not this past year, but the year before was in the front yard of that. It had caught fire twice, and I saw children playing behind the fence, and there were squatters and drug users and all that kind of stuff. It's down. It came down in June, so we're really happy about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's Waterman, 16th in Waterman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, North Sierra Way and 16th.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a frustratingly slow process.
And now we're dealing with trash building up in the back of the lot.
Right. Right.
That's another issue.
Right. Right. And then, if there aren't any other questions, final note: I'll repeat what the chair said at the beginning. Third Thursday, this Thursday. So farm share as well as 9 food trucks from 11 to 2 on Thursday down in Court Street Square.
I went by there the other day and the lines were too long. I had something else to do. It's been pretty popular.
It has been very popular. We had 2,600 people last month.
Nice.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Terrific. What's the best truck?
Smoke them if you got them.
I like the
I don't endorse any
I like the Argentine.
Piaggio.
Piaggio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's your favorite.
The lines do look long, but the lines move through in about 35 minutes, except for the lobster truck, which was their first time last month.
Lobster truck.
Yes.
Those lines were almost an hour long.
I drove by and I said, all right, I've got to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Sandra, we all that I want to say something.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Just for your own information, Metrolink almost decided to shut down their whole operation recently. They invested a lot of money in a Rotem cab car. The train has a locomotive on this end and a cab car on this end. The in car used to have a flat part with a windshield. It don't have a steering wheel, but the guy would drive the thing from there. Well, it was too dangerous in wrecks like that they had in crossings. So Metrolink bought these beautiful Rotem cars where the engineer's up top and he's got the remote control to run the engine. Well, we had an engineer killed not long ago on a derailment on that. They discovered now that the weight of that car is too light. If there's an impact, it causes the back end to go up and derail and then causes the accordion. So they had no answer for this. So what they're going to do at $22,000 a day, they're running locomotives from BNSF to put on the other end of that.
Wow.
Oh, good Lord.
With no cure right now in sight. So they can't use the Rotem cars because of that. They're leasing the engines. And then over at the depot, the stub tracks are coming to the west of the depot where you load in for Metrolink. They shorten the tracks about 80 feet for the pedestrian overcrossing. Well, now with the additional 75 feet of that car, they can't load passengers there.
Oh, man.
So it's a... But luckily, they're going to start. You'll probably see the BNSF engines on the opposite end here within maybe this week. But it was just a comedy of errors.
So you said that they almost shut down.
They had no other option. There was a safety factor. But
wow.
Just
interesting.
Commissioner Smith, do you have any announcements?
I did. I just wanted to
really quick.
I wanted to let everyone know that there's an excellent article about San Bernardino and the Riverside Press Enterprise today by Cassie McDuff, and it talks specifically about the food court, about the 2,600 people. So I would strongly recommend that all of us read that. It's a lot of good things about the city of San Bernardino, about the transit center, about the, of course, the court building and the Loma Linda structure. So it's a lot of positive things about San Bernardino, and it's good to have those articles, and maybe we could get it around, you know, circulate it through the
send
internet
some to the sun
and let them know. Because she's
put on Facebook.
She's very well followed for many years. And if we could revert back to agenda items, I know we've talked a little bit about demolition today, because that's you know, basically one of our thrusts. And Mark has indicated that there's an individual that's in charge of demolitions.
That is correct. There's one point person, yes.
Would it be appropriate, Chairman, if we invited them to come to our next meeting?
I can answer any questions. I'd rather not have him after hours. Because, I mean, I can, he works for me, so any questions that you have on demolitions, I can answer.
Well, that might be, and I agree with that. I'll respect that. But the point I'm making is that that might be a good subcommittee, is to look more thoroughly into the process of demolitions here in the city of San Bernardino.
You mean about potential buildings?
Anyway, make it a subcommittee to specifically look at that.
Yeah.
And if the chairman is agreeable to that, I don't think we need to make a decision tonight, but I'd be more than happy to, you know, to serve on that subcommittee if we think it's important to do that. That's all I had.
What we could do is make it new business to be discussed for next month. That would be fine. Okay, I'd like to have a motion to.
First of all, okay, we're meeting today tonight because we didn't meet last month. Mm-hmm. No, just so I remember, normally we meet on every odd number month.
Well, yeah. So, we're meeting next month.
December.
Meeting next month.
October. And then December. Mm-hmm. I know we mentioned about reporting our subcommittee in January, but we're not going to meet.
It would be February.
It'd be February.
Have it ready by then.
So
yes.
Okay. I want to make one more statement. I got to commend Nick on this. The Historical Society had last month Louis Fuerte, Uhlhauser's cameraman. You told him about that.
Had
Uhlhauser's cameraman with an overloaded crowd. And then last month, we had all the old disc jockeys from KFXM and KMEN. And one of them was Commander Chuck Street from the Channel 4 News helicopter. But they brought up some fascinating, great presentations that Nick's organized. But again, we wish the Sun would come out with some of the, this is a positive thing that needs to be brought out in the town.
Yeah.
That this stuff has happened.
But we can't force them, so.
No?
No. I don't know
what their office is in Glendale.
I think it's short on staff. I mean,
can we get a motion, Ms. Earp?
Yeah, I move that we adjourn.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you.
Can we all stand?
I hear the first one.
To vote? Can we all stand and vote?
Can we hold hands?